Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
And we had a word with Terry, but I think it's important just to bring Terry back on, because in a moment we're going to have a word with Renee, Mia's mom. And Terry, you know, was the one who came up. Terry's had wonderful interactions with Mia, and Terry, you know, thought that it would be a really good idea for Mia to be kind of like the poster girl for the DL Link and for the charity campaign. So, Tia, hello, hello.
Hello, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back on the show. How's it going, Tia? All good?
All good. All exciting. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
Yeah.
And Tia, just before we get Renee, because I know that Renee is on and we're looking so forward to having a word, just very quickly, for those who weren't listening last week, what it is, why Mia became the poster child, the poster girl, and then Renee will tell us a little bit more about Mia's story.
So Mia is just the most incredible young girl I've ever, ever come across. When I went to visit her in hospital, Renee said to me that Mia documents all her, like her whole journey actually, on TikTok. And I went onto her TikTok and I was absolutely mind blown. She's so real. She really documents the good, the bad, the hard, the sad. And she blew me away, and she continues to do so in every aspect.
Well, I think that's a perfect opportunity to bring her mom onto the show. Renee, Taron, welcome.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Terry.
So hi, Renee.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Is it Renee or Renee?
It's Renee. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Renee. And thank you so much for coming onto the show. And quite a thing, you know, here we are talking about your daughter being this poster girl for this charity campaign. You've heard what Terry has said about her. And it must fill your heart with so much love and appreciation and joy. But it has been quite a torrid time since August last year, I
believe. Yeah, since August, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you can just tell our listeners, what happened? I mean, Mia was 10 when she was diagnosed.
Yeah, thanks, Nikki. I was actually starting to tear up a little bit when Terry was speaking about Mia now. So in August last year, Mia was starting to complain about her bones were sore, you know, her arms and her legs, and I was putting it down to growing pains, and I mean, she's 10 years old. And, you know, some days she doesn't want to do sport and she wants a letter. And I remember sort of, you know, don't be like that. Don't be lazy. You've got to play sports. And then she decided the one day to miss a friend's birthday party because her arms were sore. And I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. I mean, she's a social butterfly, loves her friends. So I thought, okay, let's have a look. Where are your arms sore? And she was pointing and I said, you know what? Maybe this is coming from your shoulder because it's sort of coming down your arms. And, you know, in my medical non-expertise, yeah, I put a transect patch on her shoulder thinking it'll, you know, relieve a muscle or something that's maybe a little tight. And that evening I took the transect patch off and there was this massive purple bruise in the shape of the transect patch. Sure. And I got such a fright and I was like, oh my gosh, I've really messed up here. I must have pulled it off too hard, or, you know, maybe she's allergic to it or something. So, but anyway, she said it wasn't sore. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, just keep an eye on that. And then the next day she went to school and she was fine and she came home, and that late that afternoon she started with a nosebleed. And it just carried on and carried on, and then it would lessen. You know, as soon as I was like, let me get her to the hospital, it would lessen. I was like, oh, okay, let's wait.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was later that, you know, early evening, and I thought to myself, hang on a minute, it's a nosebleed, it's the patch, you know, with the clearly blood under the skin. Maybe I should actually just go check this out. In fact, I had my mom on the phone, and my mom was, you know, grandparents, you will take my granddaughter to the hospital right now.
Of course.
And I took her through, and she had tests, and they admitted her. And the next day was the 20th of August, and we woke up and we were at the hospital, and they were sort of talking about something called RTP, which is a blood disease, you know, and it's treatable, and we'll see what the test results come in at. And then that afternoon, the pediatrician came and he pulled me aside and he said, I need to talk to you privately. And I went into a room with him, and he sort of, you know, speaking about big words and platelets and white blood count and hemoglobin. And then he said, this is all indicative of leukemia. And my world stopped in that moment, because, you know, he carried on talking, and all I kept thinking was, what are you saying? You know, and I thought, no, I've heard a word and I've locked onto this word, but there's no way. And eventually I stopped him and I said to him, I just need to ask you. I said, are you saying my daughter has leukemia? And he said, yes, I am. And that was it. I mean, that was the end of life that we knew it up until that moment, and the start of a whole different path that none of us want to be on, but we found ourselves on. And you know, since then she started treatment 3 days later. So it's been, I keep a daily journal of every single thing that she's gone through. And, you know, it's been, today's 354 days since she was diagnosed. She has been on treatment for 351 of those days. She's been in hospital for 149 of those days. Wow. She's had 15 platelet transfusions, 23 blood transfusions. She's had, you know, 11 lumbar punctures, 9 bone marrow biopsies. It carries on like hundreds of doses of chemo. It's such a long, long road for her to be on, and for us as a family to be on. You know, she's still got another 2 years worth of treatment. Now, sure. She's just at maintenance. And it's been hard. It's been really, really hard.
Sure. I mean, yeah, Renee, I mean, and as you say, this is a long, long, long journey. And Terry describes her as being such a beautiful human being. So let's talk about that. To be a mom, to watch your child have to go through that, the good days, the bad days. I know that she had such an awful issue with her foot because she has this bone tissue dying because it doesn't get enough blood supply. And you, right, as her mom, you know, in and out of hospital and her friends, and then she's the poster girl for the charity campaign. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the kind of person that Mia is.
Yeah, look, she is incredible. And I think every parent will say that about their children, but, you know, Mia is, she is so highly intelligent. Like I said, she was 10 when she was diagnosed. She's 11 now. She's always been an A grade student. She, you know, from hospital, she's been carrying on with her classes. When she's at home, she has a tutor. She's still managed to maintain an A aggregate through all of what she's going through.
Wow, that is amazing. Honestly. Exactly.
Yeah. She asks questions that no one thinks of asking. You know, her professors have said to me that, you know, almost laughingly, like, the problem is that she's so clever that she thinks of things to ask them all the time that perhaps children wouldn't necessarily ask, but she's so involved in her own treatment and in knowing what is going to happen, what to expect, how do these medicines work. And she'll say to me some days, I'll say, no, well, we're going in today, you're getting vincristine. She'll say, no, mommy, today's not vincristine, today's methotrexate. Don't you? Wow. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Wow.
Heavily involved in all of it. And then she's a bright and happy person to be around. Obviously, she has her really, really bad days. But she's got, you know, her sister, Erin, my other daughter, they are so close and so loving to each other. She's just a wonderful girl. And she's going through all of this stuff that's been really hard, and then doing her TikToks, which has given her, A, some reprieve, be, you know, documenting things that she's going through, and see like something to do during the day as well, mm-hmm. because, you know, going through this kind of treatment, she hasn't been allowed out, she hasn't been allowed to restaurants or see friends, or her life has been hospital and home. So this has given her things to carry on doing and keeping, you know, her mind occupied and things like that, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, wow. Renee, I want to talk more about the TikTok and the videos that she does, but we're going to take a quick ad break. So stay with us, and we're going to be back in a moment.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. If you've just tuned in, welcome. We're talking about Charity 2025. It's the biggest fundraiser for the DL Link. We've had Michelle Goodman on just talking about the beginnings of the DL Link and what the DL Link does in the community, who they serve, what they do. And now we're looking at the marvelous poster girl for Charity 2025, and that is Mia Taron, who is her mom. Renee is on the show sharing the story, Mia's story, at the age of 10 being diagnosed with lymphoblastic leukemia, that this is a 3 to 4 year journey of treatment, that she's either isolated in hospital or at home, and yet she has a smile on her face. She documents it all on TikTok. She questions the doctors, and that's why she's the poster girl for Charity 2025. So just before the break, Renee, I was asking about this TikTok. In fact, I think I asked Terry last week. It was hard for her to answer because only you or Mia would know. So for an 11-year-old to so bravely put herself in front of the camera, you know, at that age, we're so self-conscious. We want to look perfect, be perfect, project perfection. And there she is, and she's saying, this is me, and this is my good day, and this is my bad day. I'd love to know, Renee, has she had feedback? Has she had people telling her that she's impacted them? What is this TikTok journey been like for her?
So she does, Nikki. She gets these beautiful messages from people who follow her of, you know, I'm so proud of you. And they really follow her journey of, you know, she'll post to say, you know, sorry, I'm not going to post so much today. I'm back in hospital. They want to know why. They want to know what's happening. And they follow her journey. They celebrate her successes when she's coming out of hospitals. They celebrate, like, for example, her hair started growing the tiniest bit in the last 2 weeks, and it was like this big celebration, and she TikToked it to show, look, I have hair, you know, and it's beautiful. And you can see on her TikToks, you know, she has these days where she's trying to do a get ready with me, and she's trying to stand up afterwards, and some days she'll be doing a twirl, and some days she'll be just very slowly doing a turn, you know, to see her outfit, because you can see she's tired, she's in pain, she's not feeling well, but she's getting up there and she's showing everyone who she is and what she is. And, you know, I've always been proud of her that she doesn't want to hide what she looks like with, you know, yeah, without having any hair. At such a young age, it's obviously a big impact on her. She used to have this long, beautiful, thick hair, and now she's gone to having none at all. And she does her get ready, and she does her makeup, and she does her outfit of the day, and then she does like what I eat in a day, hospital edition or home edition, and she's just getting her story out there of, this is my everyday life of what I'm going through.
Yeah, just pretty amazing coming from a young, you know, we can learn so much. We can learn so much from the youth. We really, really can. Renee, how? So we have spoken before, and it was before the Jerusalem Marathon. But maybe you can again just share with our audience how you came into contact with the DL Link. I mean, how come, you know, Mia is our poster girl?
Well, Nikki, first of all, you're calling them the wrong name. I mean, they go by DL Link, but they're really a network of angels. That's what they are to us. Yeah. So DL Link, I mean, I didn't know who the DL Link was. And Michelle was mentioning it herself, that people, you know, you might hear about it, but what do they do? Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people. And I was so blessed that a very, very dear friend and colleague passed on my details to DealLink. And I got this message out of the blue saying, you know, it was Gubby at the time that messaged from DealLink, and we'd like to come through and meet you and meet Mia. And I'll tell you that in the beginning, you sort of like, who are you and what are you doing? And I'm going through a lot right now. And what's important to know is that there's two things that happen in a big diagnosis like this. Number one, everyone shows up in the first month. Everyone is there. Everyone is dropping off goods and eats and visiting and balloons and get better soon and how's everything going? And we're actually sort of prepared for this by the doctors, that everyone shows up and slowly but surely they whittle away and they, you know, go back to life and they go back to their normal things of what they're doing. And you sort of, you left quite alone a little bit after that initial shock. And then the second thing is that everyone's saying, what can we do? What do you need? What can I do? What can I do? And the answer to that is, I don't know. And most people have that. You're going through your mind, your brain, your heart is reeling from this absolute devastation that you are facing and this fight that you're about to start. And you don't know what you need. What happens with DealLink, what happened certainly with us, number one, they showed up just like everyone else did. And here we are almost a year down the line, and they continue to show up. They never, ever wavered. They've never, ever, like, made us feel forgotten or made us feel alone. And it's messages all the time. It's constant support. It's constant checking in. How are you doing? It's celebrating every time we have the tiniest bit of good news. Mia had two massive seizures at one stage and landed up in hospital. And that night I sat next to her in bed and I was absolutely terrified. And I sat watching her sleep the whole night because I was so scared she was going to have another one in the night. Mm-hmm. And here turned up an angel from DealLink at the hospital late at night. And she came in and introduced herself and she said, I just want to sit here with you. And I mean, this poor person, sure. I literally just burst in and I sobbed and she just held me sure. while I cried and cried. Because I was exhausted, I was terrified, you know, I was traumatized as well. So yeah. That's what they do. They carry on showing up. And then the second part of like people saying, what can we do? DealLink doesn't ask us, what can I do? They just do it. They give us things and do things for us and say, you know, I'll get a message from Terry, Renee, what time is Mia out of her lumbar puncture this afternoon? We're bringing dinner for you tonight. We are, you know, they'll suddenly a gift will arrive at home for Mia. And it's a beautiful blanket with a prayer on it. And it's just, how did you know we needed that? You know, because we're in hospital so much, we're at the clinic and she's getting chemo and she always wants a blanket. And they've done stuff where, you know, Michelle was referring to nails earlier. They've sent a nail technician to the hospital and we sat and we got our nails done one day. And it's something to keep Mia's mind busy. And it's something I would never have thought of. I mean, who takes a nail technician to a hospital, you know? And it was amazing. They just keep showing up. And like I said, it's a year down the line. I don't hear from them any less than what I ever have. I don't get any less love and support from them than what we had right in the very beginning. And it's not what can we do? It's messages and phone calls. Where are you? How are things going? They celebrate my other daughter. You know, what people don't know is that they often call the siblings of children with cancer. They're the silent sufferers because they are very often forgotten as well. You know, the focus is all on your child that has cancer and getting them through this and DealLink hasn't even forgotten about my other daughter. You know, they've sent her a care package when she's sick and I'm in hospital with Mia and I can't be there. You know, her mom can't be there with her. And next minute, a care package pitches up for my other daughter to make her feel better and seen and taken care of. And these are things that it is the most amazing support you can have as a mom. You know, I'm a single mom, so I'm trying to do both and all of it at the same time. And then I'll get Terry sending a message saying, Renee, let us know if you need us to help to get Erin to swimming training. And it's just like, like it's that thing off my chest and off my shoulders that I didn't know how to ask, or I didn't know who to ask. And they just keep doing things like this. You know, Terry messaged me after Mia had her third foot operation, the avascular necrosis that you mentioned before. She's got about 4 bones in her foot that have died. So she can't have any weight on that foot for the next couple of months while we hope the bone calcifies. And Terry messaged me and she said, how about we get her one of those knee scooters? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that. And then, you know, they went a step further and arranged the knee scooter, you know, and it's just, you're scrambling so much and you can't think of what you want yourself. And they're so ahead of you because they've got so much experience and love and support to do these things.
You know, Renee, you put it so beautifully. And in fact, I'm going to say, Michelle, you should definitely record this because I think that you've encapsulated what they do and who they are. And I think, you know, starting off, Michelle was talking about that it was Devorah Leo who had this dream and this is what she wanted. So, wow, just amazing, Renee, just the way you've expressed that to everyone listening. We all feel it. We all get it. And that's just absolutely amazing. So here we sit with Mia being this poster girl, and you must be so immensely proud. And what a thing it is. And to hear that this charity event, you know, people are phoning, people are donating. Before we say goodbye to you, very, very quickly, is there anything you want to say to people who are, about to make the donation or people who are listening?
I would. Nikki, I think nobody knows what this journey's like until you have to be on it. And, you know, we pray no one has to be on it, but unfortunately there are people on it. And I want everyone to just realize that this is important. This is the work that DL Link does is just so beautiful and so caring and so helpful in a time of absolute distress and trauma and, you know, probably one of the worst things you'll ever go through in your life. And to have that support, have the love, have the care from this team of people, it's immeasurable. And, you know, any kind of donations for them or help for DL Link to carry on helping people like Mia, like myself and my family, it's absolutely appreciated. It is so needed during these times. And I encourage everyone to consider supporting this phenomenal group of people. It is just, it's what they do is angelic.
Renee, thank you so much. Thank you for putting it all so beautifully, for sharing Mia's story, and for going on that journey with your daughter and your other daughter, and as I said, sharing it with us. So appreciated, and thank you so much. It's really been lovely having you on the show, and lots of love to Mia.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Renee. Wow. Renee Theron, mom of the DL Link poster girl, 11-year-old Mia. And there is Mia's story. And we get really an insight into the type of person Mia is. So you get to see what this charity event is all about. You get to see and you've heard what the DL Link does. So you know that the charity campaign is taking place. It started on Tuesday. Until tomorrow, you can make that donation. Remember, they're very, very generous donors who will triple what you donate. So you can go to charity. So it's charity.com, charity with a D, / DL Link. And all the details will be there.